will this audit, the study, look at that issue as well?
I think it has to come up in the discussion, because when you're talking about the students who take iStep Plus and those grade levels, the school climate is such a big issue. And when that level of frustration of not only being interrupted on the test, but being continually interrupted on the test and having those problems, my guess would be it would have to affect the way that they approach it. Now, again, I think it would be premature to try to decide how much of an impact that was, but I'm certain, Dr. Smith, that that will be a part of the study.
Thank you.
Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Barnes, does McGraw-Hill have any other capacity associated with Hoosier Education?
Excuse me, I didn't.
McGraw-Hill, what other capacity do they have in association with Hoosier Education? Do they have any other contracts?
Well, I know that they also do the testing for the iRead program, the third grade literacy program.
From John Barnes with the Department of Education. Questioning by legislators, and it's not kind of a hearing that normally happens here in the legislature during the session where each member is called in turn, or what people are familiar with in Congress. It's actually just like a classroom. It's much more loose and unstructured. Is this what normally happens during study committees, or are the two chairs deliberately trying to make this serious but informal?
I think what Senator Dennis Cruz and State Representative Bob Boehning are trying to do, the co-chairs, is make sure everyone gets their questions answered. I mean, unlike a usual committee hearing where you have a more partisan issue with Republicans and Democrats kind of posturing, I think with this situation here, everybody's got students and their constituents who's had kids in their district have impacted. So I think a lot of this, particularly with John Barnes' testimony, is sort of give us an assessment. Where are we now? I think it'll be interesting to see.
Hold on, now John Barnes is done. Now does this mean that Ellen Haley with McGraw-Hill, the president of McGraw-Hill CTV, she's coming up. Let's go to her live.
Right, she's going to go to the microphone right here.
We're
going to
go take her live.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Senator Cruz and Representative Boehning and everyone on the Commission on Education. Thank you so much for inviting me here today and giving me the opportunity to explain what happened, why it happened, how we fixed it, what we're doing to make sure that it doesn't happen again. We take responsibility for system interruptions that did occur on April 29th and April 30th, and I'd like to take some time to tell you in detail as much as I can about that. I'm going to be happy to take questions at the end of some remarks, and I'll introduce at that time two colleagues and have them come up and join me. Stephen Laster, who's our chief digital officer for McGraw-Hill Education, and Dr. Richard Pates, who's responsible for engineering research and development. But I'd first like to make some comments about what happened on those 2 days. Let me begin first, before I say anything else, by apologizing to you on behalf of myself and all of the employees at CTB, including the hundreds of people that we have working for us right here in Indianapolis at our scoring facility. We've had business in the state since I looked to try to find the original contract date, 1989, when I first started working at CTB. The first thing I worked on was the IPASS, the Indiana IPASS contract. And since that time, we've been involved in many of your summative assessments, iStep and iStep Plus. And I have family here in Indiana, and so do all the employees here, obviously. And it's just, it was very disappointing to us to have this happen and have this impact school children in Indiana. So please accept my sincere apologies and regret that anything at all happened. Now, I would like to take some time and carefully explain what did happen. As you know, the iStep Plus test has two big parts. The first part, the applied skills portion of the test, is administered in March, early March. And that test this year had some online administration, but it was mostly paper and pencil. And then the second large part is the multiple choice section of the test. And at grades 3 through 8, students take multiple choice test sessions in English, language, arts, and math. And then if they're, I think it's grades 4 and 6, take science tests, and 5 and 7 take social studies tests. So any one student is taking between 4 and 6 test sessions when they take the iStep Plus multiple choice test. This year, for the first time, we put that test 100% online. The test's always been online for the last few years, but this was the first year that 100% of the children in Indiana took the test online. The previous year, it was about 67% of the students took the test online. The rest took the test in paper and pencil. The year before that, it was about 30%. The year before that, it was a pilot. So it's been a careful progression plan to get your test to 100% online. Your reports for the test, the applied and the multiple choice combined, are delivered as 100% online. There's one paper report for the students. That's a duplicate report. So you're doing quite a bit of online work in the state. CTB is your test contractor, so we develop the test questions. We put the test forms together. We do the standard setting. We do the scoring and the reporting all at the Indianapolis site. We work under the direction of the Indiana Department of Education in a very collaborative way. We also are responsible for building the platform that these tests went on for the administration online this spring. Now, we knew that the test was going to 100% student demand, and we obviously prepare for something like that. And so what did we do? We had several tests of the system, over 50 tests of the platform and the system that the test was on. 30 of those tests are tests called load tests that are meant to test the scalability of the system, the performance of the system, how much load, how many students at the same time. We also did stress tests at 1,000 schools in Indiana. That was mainly meant to test the infrastructure at the school buildings themselves, that there would be no interruptions because of their infrastructure or bandwidth. We did practice tests in the school. I believe over 400,000 students participated in online practice tests, and that's mainly to give the students experience taking the test online so they're comfortable with it when it's time to take the real test. In all of these tests, we were satisfied with the results. The results were positive. And we had a good administration in 2012. There were some local interruptions in 2012, but we had no widespread issues across Indiana, as I'm going to describe to you in a minute here. So the combination of all the students testing in 2012, all these load tests, the stress tests, the practice tests, we didn't have any indication that there would be any problems. We felt ready to go on April 29th. So what happened on April 29th? That was the very first day of testing, and in the morning, right away in the morning, we started to get calls from Indiana schools to our customer service in Indianapolis, and the Department of Ed started to receive calls that students' systems were slow as they were trying to take their first test session of the multiple choice test. The system was slow, it was pausing, they felt interrupted as they were making their way through the test. So imagine if we're a classroom of students and you're taking the first session on the very first day of testing. If in certain classrooms it didn't happen to anybody. In other classrooms it might have happened to two of us, but everybody else continued on. In other classrooms, the whole classroom was paused. And what the students would see on their screen is they would see a little globe and the words, "Please wait." They had just tried to answer question number 5, let's say, to select an answer choice that they thought was the right answer. And you're supposed to be able to go right on to the next test, but the system was pausing, saying, "Please wait, please wait, please wait." And that's what we had reported to our customer service hotline. Now, the pausing is actually a designed response of the system. The system captures every single student answer choice as soon as the answer choice is selected. We capture it and we transfer it from the student's workstation to our servers. In the back end, we have many servers, virtual servers, we have a database, and we're capturing every time the student makes an answer choice, we capture it, we transfer it. If there's any reason why the system feels it can't transfer the answer, can't capture it, it will not let the student go on. The student will get that pause, pause, pause. And it was frustrating. You can imagine taking a high-stakes test, getting ready for this big day, being nervous to begin with, and then having this happen. I don't know, you probably had similar things happen in your own interactions with technology. Things, even pausing for a second, can be very frustrating, especially in a school setting if you're a child taking an important test. So we immediately put engineers on this to try to figure out what was happening. And it became pretty clear right away that the back-end servers that we have, the virtual servers, didn't have enough memory. They were becoming overwhelmed by the demand of the students taking the test that first day. And so we added additional virtual memory. and that resolved the problem on Monday. On Tuesday morning seemed fine. By the middle of the morning, though, the late morning, we have different times reported, but about the middle of the morning, school started calling us again. At this point, we had engineers monitoring the system. We had people here in the state, in the Department of Ed office, watching every, we have like a dashboard. You can see how many students are testing, how many are being interrupted, how far along each person is in each test that they're taking. So we were monitoring it. We could see at about the same time that students started being interrupted, that something was happening again on Tuesday, April 30th. And it was actually also happening on Monday, April 29th, but we couldn't see it because the main problem on Monday was masking the problem on Tuesday. What happened on Tuesday is that we did not have enough memory for the software application itself, so we added more memory to that. And after that, we did not have any of these types of interruptions again. Now, you look at the statistics at the, for Monday, Tuesday, our system's records show that 78,219 students were interrupted on those 2 days. 400,000 test sessions, though, were completed. I think I forgot to say that if you take the numbers of students, public and non-public, in Indiana, and the 4 to 6 subtests each of them take, we administered online 2.5 million test sessions, you know, for reading, language arts, math, science, social studies, 2.5 million of those. On Monday and Tuesday, 400,000 of them were successfully completed. Not for the 78,219 students who were interrupted, but some students were not interrupted. By Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Wednesday turned out to be the peak day of the entire testing window. We had more testing on Wednesday, followed by Thursday and Friday, than any other time during the window. By the end of the first week, 54% of that 2.5 million, those test sessions, had already been administered. And by the end of the second week, 95% of the test sessions had been administered. In the third week, very few schools and students needed the third week. Now, why did this happen? Why did this happen while students are testing? Why couldn't we have determined this beforehand? I said we had done all those tests. What happened? Well, the load tests of scale and performance are done using test scripts, simulations, different scenarios, and we build those with the best information we have about what we think the demand pattern will be as the students are taking the test. And clearly, those scenarios that we built did not accurately mirror what really happened on Monday and Tuesday. So we had configured our systems, added enough virtual and software memory to accommodate a test pattern that didn't happen. There was more demand on the system. It overwhelmed the back-end systems, the servers. It created bottlenecks on those 2 days, and we had to add memory on one day and add memory the next day to clear the bottlenecks and let the students move their way through the test and not see that pause screen. So the reason it happened is we did not have enough virtual or software memory, and we didn't test. Our test scripts were not mirroring correctly what was happening on the first 2 days of testing. So now what can we do so that this doesn't happen again, so that we prevent this? There's several things that we're going to do. This should not have happened at all. I know it's unacceptable to you. Believe me, it's unacceptable to me too. And we are taking this summer to relook at the entire platform, the entire system, and especially at our testing processes and patterns. We're going to pull up those scripts, those scenarios, those rules for testing, and we need to modify them. Now we have the advantage of 100% online testing. We have actual real demand pattern. That can inform what the test scripts should be when you're testing the system to make sure it can handle the load. So we're going to look at the system, update the test scripts. We're going to retest the whole system as if students were going to test this summer. And we might find something else that just did not materialize on those days. But with a full test scripts now, I feel more confident that we will have true test scripts and scenarios that mirror the real demand. We're also going to be adding more monitoring and early alerts into the system so that we can see things as soon as they start happening, so fewer children ever have to be impacted by this kind of thing again. And I'm confident that the system review, the test scripts that now get to take advantage of real-time data information of students and schools will make a difference in terms of the testing of the system. So I think maybe that's where I should stop and turn it to questions and answer, and I'll try to answer the questions as best I can, but I'll also ask my two colleagues if they'd like to join me. Stephen Laster, who's our chief digital officer, and if you have more questions about things like virtual memory and software memory, he can help me explain that. And if you have any questions about the data, Dr. Rich Pates. And I guess I should say I agree with what John Barnes said. We are looking at the student test data now for the students that were interrupted, and the DOE has hired a third-party reviewer. It's a respected entity that's also looking at the data. So we don't have any information yet. It's too premature to talk about it, but it is something important to us that we're looking at, and we'll be discussing with the department in the coming weeks.
Ellen, I have a couple questions, clarification. We obviously had problems Monday and Tuesday. And those problems were basically taken care of at that point in time. And so the students that were kicked off to the system had to make it up.
You're listening to a special edition of Amos and Abdul on a Friday. We are live from the Indiana State House. You're listening to the special joint of House and Senate members trying to find out what went wrong with ISTEP. They're now going to ask questions of the people from CTB, McGraw-Hill, Ellen Haley, who is the president, a couple of other members of the staff. Let's go back to the hearing.
Sessions.
Okay, so, but the problem basically was resolved after Tuesday.
Yes, you know, technical problems can sometimes be hard to find the root of. In this case, it was very clear very quickly that it was server memory and software memory. The memory was added and the problem stopped.
And your stress test that you do did not show that you were going to have these type of problems?
No, it didn't. We did, as I said, 30 tests of stress up to concurrency rates that we thought were well over what would happen. But you're always building scenarios to look at the demand pattern, and if those patterns aren't mirroring what's really going to happen, you won't detect that.
Was there not, I think Oklahoma is a CTB state too.
Yes.
Did they have a similar problem? Were they online at the same time we were? Or
yes, I can't talk too much about them, but yes, they are on. Their test is also on this same platform. So when you had problems on April 29th and 30th, so did they have problems on April 29th and 30th.
Okay, so
and they were also fixed as soon as we added more memory.
I talked to Superintendent Ritz this morning. She indicated that the third-party validity study would be back. They estimated sometime in the neighborhood of July 24th. Now, do you have any idea when your validity study will be done?
Rich, you want to answer that? When our validity study will be done?
Sooner.
Yeah, Rich is saying sooner, within the next 2 weeks.
We wanted to make sure we've scheduled a tentative meeting for the 29th based on that information. We want to make sure your data would also be available at the same time. So, okay. The committee, Representative Vandenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I'm sitting behind you. Now I know why no one's sat here, because all of the cameras are there. If I may, it was hard for me to listen at times when you were talking about how the system was pausing, and a child would have to wait, you know, for the server to take that answer. Being that it's a timed test, how was that child then allowed extra time when they got back to that section? If it was just about a certain person experiencing pauses, did we ever do anything to, I guess, help them have more time? Because if you don't finish, obviously, you're going to have all those questions at the end wrong, and it is going to directly affect your score. And then my other question was regarding the kids that were kicked off. Were they able to start at the beginning of that section again and timed from the beginning to the end completely, or was it where they left off and there was X amount of time left?
That's a lot of questions. but yes, my understanding, and I maybe we'll need the department to answer this or school corporations, is that if a student got the pause on their screen, sometimes they would be able to start right away. I mean, a pause during testing is not uncommon. You know, just stop, pause for a quick second. But if they were interrupted for longer than that, their test session was ended and they were rescheduled for another day, is my understanding. but I probably have all variety of different stories that happened. But for the most part, if the pause went on too long and it clearly looked like the session was not going to be able to be continued, students stopped and were rescheduled.
That's a major concern for me as a parent because my daughter, Bailey, before she was diagnosed with ADD and was on medication, it takes her a very, very long time to complete a test. So the year before she was diagnosed, when she took the I-STEP test in third grade for the first time, she actually failed both sections, the English and the math, because she wasn't able to complete the test in the time allotted. So, you know, for other kids, you know, and I imagine they are so stressed out. I know my kids are always stressed out, not frustrated, but very stressed, knowing that their intellect is going to be tested the next day, and, you know, we're going to all know how smart or, you know, how smart you're not. I know I would have a lot of stress if somebody put a test in front of me or I knew I was going to have to take a test, you know, on everything I knew in the legislature, you know, because that's going to be public just like, you know, the children's scores are now. So there is a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for them to have any amount of time taken away is really a concern. You know, I have every... I'm sure that your company has done everything that you possibly could and that you didn't want this for our kids either, but it really, it makes us wonder if maybe technology isn't the way to go. You know, you could still have problems, I guess, with paper and pencil. If you fill in the wrong egg at the top, mm-hmm. you know, you're messed up the whole test. And I guess if you're taking it on the computer, at least only that question is there and you can only answer that question. I just really wish that there was something else that, you know, we could do. Maybe do a paper test or something to back them up again or something. I don't know.
It's, I'm sure, just anecdotal, but I think a lot of our, I mean, testing is stressful. I remember feeling very stressed when I was a child taking a test. I know it's creates that. And but I think our children these days are, they're growing up as digital natives, and I think it doesn't excuse this at all. I mean, this should not have happened, and it was frustrating, and I'm sure it impacted how children's nerves felt that day. But I think there could be also the situation where some children are, you know, they're comfortable with technology. They know that sometimes things stop, or they pause. And, you know, it's not acceptable in a high-stakes testing situation. I mean, I'm not trying to excuse it at all, but so I apologize again. It did have an impact on their day, I'm sure, in testing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're all just searching. If we're searching something, we don't mind a delay. We know that that's technology. But when you are expecting to be able to complete a test and then not have the stress once you leave the testing environment, and to know now you have to go back home, go to sleep, and wake up the next day knowing that, God, I have to go through it all again, you know, and is it going to end today? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what about my scores? And now, because as legislature, we have moved in a direction where we unfortunately put so much weight on this test. I mean, I know that I've, you know, told my kids, I mean, it's important for you to do well and to focus because your school's going to be graded. It affects, you know, your teacher's performance. And we want you to do well also as a student for yourself. But how well you do every day mm-hmm. affects so many other things. It affects our entire community, mm-hmm. you know, and the values of people's property. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is very, very serious. So it isn't, you know, like that we don't accept a delay when we're
doing
something like Googling.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you have a lot of, even the online policy, the teacher evaluation policy, the 8-letter grades. We understand that the I-STEP test is used in all of those
policies. And that has nothing to do with McGraw-Hill. You know, that's something that we need to look at as a legislature. So I thank you for your comments.
Representative Burton.
You've been listening to the testimony of Ellen Haley. She's the president of CTB McGraw-Hill. It's a special edition of Amos and Abdul for a Friday. And I think the first thing is she apologized, straight up.
First, rule number one, I'm putting on my lawyer hat here. If I was advising her, number one, apologize, apologize, apologize. Number two, say that there was no, we did everything that we were supposed to do. And folks who have been listening to this broadcast, notice you talked about the different testing they did, the load test, the stress test. You know, we did all the testing that we thought, we ran simulations, and nothing showed up while we did our quote-unquote due diligence. To me, this seems like somebody who's saying we messed up, but we weren't necessarily negligent, so don't hit us as hard with penalties.
We're going to take a quick break, come back to more of the hearing. They're running far more ahead of schedule than even we anticipated. There's a number of members of the public that also will have an opportunity to testify a little bit later, including the superintendent of the Fort Wayne Community School Corporation, the largest school district in the state of Indiana. So special edition of Amos and Abdul. We are live from outside the Senate chamber at the Indiana General Assembly. We'll be back with more after these.
The 43rd Indiana Black Expo Summer Celebration at the Convention Center, July 19th through the 21st, has something for the entire family. For the first time, all kids 12 and under are free to accompany with an adult. Come witness the new and improved floor plan, the family fun zone activities including the Colts Play 60, the all-new Negro League Baseball exhibit, the return of the amateur boxing, plus Amp Harris and Reggie Wayne celebrity basketball game, the food, the booths, the fashion show, Children's Day, and more. To purchase tickets, go online to IndianaBlackExpo.com. From AM 1310, The Light.
WTLC AM Indianapolis presents The Amos and Abdul Show every Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. on AM 1310, The Light.
You owe the IRS back taxes, and you can't possibly pay. Truth is, the IRS won't stop pursuing you until they've taken your bank accounts, your car, your house, and everything you own. What can you do? Relax. 911 Tax Relief has your way out. In fact, you may qualify for one of many programs offered by the IRS, including a little-known program specially designated for people who can't afford to pay. While enrolled in this program, you don't have to pay the IRS any money. That's right. If you qualify for this special program, you won't pay anything to the IRS. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS is forced to stop any and all collection activities against you. The harassing calls stop, wage garnishments and levies are eliminated, and you stop making monthly payments. It's that simple. Call 911 Tax Relief right now. Call 800-807-9927. If the payments are too much to handle and you feel overwhelmed, call immediately. 800-807-9927. 800-807-9927.
Ladies, when was the last time you were happy with your body? If you're like most women, it was before you turned 40. That's because age 40 is when hormonal imbalance starts causing symptoms like hot flashes, sleeplessness, low energy, irritability, and lack of sexual desire. It's not your fault. And you don't have to let these symptoms reduce your quality of life anymore. Because now we have Ambaren. Ambaren is clinically shown to balance hormones and relieve the uncomfortable symptoms of menopause safely and effectively. In fact, Ambaren is so powerful, we promise you'll love your body again. Right now, you can receive a guaranteed risk-free trial of Ambaren with a 30-day supply free. Call now and we'll send it to you today. 1-800-735-2939. And when you call right now, you'll also receive our amazing weight loss program for women over 40, absolutely free. But you have to call now at 1-800-735-2939. That's 1-800-735-2939.
Are you a group, music band, ensemble, choir, and/or solo artist looking for a professional recording studio that will cater to you? Well, look no more. Humble Creations Recording Studio is the place. Humble Creations Recording Studio is a Christian and inspirational-based studio located at 5356 North Hillside Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46220. We offer music production, multi-track recording, audio mixing, audio mastering, instrument recording, voiceover services, CD cover design, and much more. Just call 317-430-3546 for your free consultation. Here at Humble Creations, quality sound and service is guaranteed to fit your budget. For more information, call 317-430-3546 or visit our website, humblecreationsrecstudio.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Humble Creations Studio, recording the best Christian and inspirational music just for you.
Everywhere I looked, there was somebody or something telling me I needed to go back to school. Even the return key on my computer. But with three kids, I wasn't sure how I could do it. Then a friend recommended WGU Indiana. It's online, it's super affordable, and you get one-on-one support from a faculty mentor. so I made the return with confidence.
Online, nonprofit, WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Learn more at indiana.wgu.edu.
Right now at the Home Depot, get the Charbroil Classic 2-Burner Gas Grill at a new lower price of just $179 during the Red, White, and Blue Savings event. If the idea of celebrating the holiday with grilled steaks, chicken, burgers, and hot dogs doesn't fire you up, this offer definitely will. Just $179 for the Charbroil 2-Burner Gas Grill during the Red, White, and Blue Savings event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Do you need cash fast? Have you even considered one of those 2-week payday advance loans because you think there's no other option? Well, here's some good news. Western Sky Financial can lend you up to $10,000, even if your credit's not perfect, and the money can be in your bank account in hours. That's right. We can loan you up to $10,000 with just your signature and some simple paperwork. It's fast and easy, and there's no collateral required. Yes, the money's a little expensive, but it's a lot cheaper than a payday loan, and you can get enough cash to take care of some bills and have enough left to make a difference. And you can make monthly payments or repay at any time because there's never a charge for paying your loan back early. So if you need up to $10,000 by tomorrow, call Western Sky at 855-759-1224. That's 855-759-1224.
Subject to credit approval. Western Sky is owned by an individual member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe and is a Native American business operating within the exterior boundaries of the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation.
That's 855-759-1224.
Don't make the rental mistake. Come to Household Furniture.
Almost made the mental mistake of not shopping at Household Furniture. Household Furniture is not just a furniture store. They sell appliances, electronic, and household accessories. Household Furniture has so much more to offer. If you don't see it on the floor, check out the catalogs. That's right. Household Furniture does special orders. The style selections and colors are unbelievable. The store owners are on location to work with their customers. Household Furniture not only has easy credit and low payments, they have great customer service. This is an invitation to you from Household Furniture to stop and ask questions, browse and buy. You're always welcome. Browse the website at www.householdfurnitureinc.com. Until you shopped at Household Furniture, you just haven't shopped. Household Furniture, 2802 Lafayette Road in the Eagledale Plaza next to Fifth Third Bank.
Don't make the rental mistake. Come on to Household Furniture.
Have you noticed? Things are really moving at your neighborhood Kroger. And it's no wonder. You already know that Kroger is the best place in town to get low prices on the great food you need every week for you and your family. But here's an added plus you might not know about. Every time you shop, you'll be earning fuel points at the same time, automatically. Save up all those fuel points, and they'll add up to help you save big at the pumps. Actually, it's like saving twice. Once on all the food on your shopping list with low Kroger prices, and again on fuel when you rack up those fuel points and save on every gallon at the pumps. So, get a move on, grab your shopping list, and see how much you'll save.
Want to watch your fuel points add up twice as fast at Kroger? Shop with us this weekend, and you can. Just load this month's digital coupon to your Plus card and earn 2 times your fuel points Friday through Sunday. Go to Kroger.com/summerfuel for more info. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Great food, low prices at Kroger.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, it's a fact that they have the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, and even your freedom. If you've received a letter from the IRS, don't ignore it. Your problem will only continue to get worse. Here's the good news. The IRS has recently released new programs geared at helping struggling taxpayers where you may now qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe, including penalties and interest, or you may qualify for other special programs. If you're being audited, have years of unfiled tax returns, have a federal tax lien, or worse yet, are being issued a wage garnishment or bank levy, listen carefully. Authority Tax Services expert staff of ex-IRS agents, attorneys, and CPAs can immediately protect you from IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. Call 800-239-3613. That's 800-239-3613. 800-239-3613.
And we're back live from the Indiana State House. It's a special edition of Amos and Abdul for a Friday, the special legislative committee looking into the problems with ISTEP and what we have learned so far in the first hour. The testimony of Ellen Haley, the president of CTB McGraw-Hill, is not enough
we
capacity.
Enough memory.
basically, they didn't buy an external hard drive. They didn't get the little extra chip that you put in your phone. And basically in English, what she just told the committee is we did not have enough memory to handle all the tests.
And I think as angry as Hoosiers are, this is probably one of the most civil hearings that I have ever seen in any legislative body, whether it's a state legislative body, a local legislative body, or even a national legislative body. People are being very respectful. Let's go back to the hearing as the representatives and the senators ask questions as to what happened.
And I think during the question and answer is State Senator Jean Lysing. She's from down near the Cincinnati area.
And I would have expected to receive all this. More recently, I, too, have been getting comments from people about the cost and my responsibility to the state taxpayer. And what am I going to do as a legislator to make sure that the state taxpayer isn't paying for something that can't really be used, possibly? If you were a legislator in Indiana, I mean, would you be pushing the department to pursue legal action against McGraw-Hill? Would you believe that the contract has enough wording that we can solve this? Should we be paying anything for this third year cost of the test results?
Well, I don't know if I would ever be able to run for office and win, but I'll pretend that I've become a legislator. I do think you have to look at the whole contract and all the services that we provide, to be honest. I mean, the test that's developed, all the standard setting that's done, all the scoring, all the reporting, the building of the online system. I mean, certainly I would ask if I were a legislator for answers about those 2 days and what language we have in the contract and what fines we should pay for that, and things that perhaps the state wants to do that we could help them do. For example, the validity study, we've agreed to pay for the validity study. There are probably other things outside the exact letter of the contract to help make things right here in a state that we've had a long-term relationship with. But I think the contract, as it's written, with a penalty section and penalties, in contemplation of all the other things that have gone well, I wouldn't say that I would I work for this company, so you're not. I really honestly don't see this, though, as rising to the level of throwing the contract out or the vendor. I think we're dealing with technology. It needs to go right. It's students and schools. We need to make it right by you, but I think the contract as it's written gives us the opportunity to do that.
I think the average constituent is worried that because this is a company dealing with state tax dollars and not private dollars, that nobody's going to fight hard enough to make sure that the Indiana taxpayer is protected in this sort of disaster.
I've only just had a couple of meetings with the superintendent about this, just very preliminary meetings, and I believe that she is going to fight hard and follow the letter of the contract and hold us accountable. I don't know her that well, but the dialogue with her has been very constructive and very Indiana-focused, and we'll have to see. It's very early in all of that.
I would just hope that McGraw-Hill, without us having to legally pursue,
yes,
would do what's right.
Well, that's what I told her. There's language in the – it's so early for me to be talking about this, to be honest. All of our focus has been completing the testing, analyzing the data, getting the score reports out. But we have had some preliminary discussions, and there is the letter of the contract, and then there's the spirit of the relationship and the care we have for Indiana. And we've talked about things we can do along both of those lines.
Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Representative Payne. First of all, I want to thank you for coming. I know this is not an easy thing to do, to come up here and say, hey, we made a mistake and actually take questions from us. But that being said, I think this is part of our service to taxpayers of Indiana. So a couple of my questions may be hard for you to answer, but I think it's something that we have to ask. You talked about your Oklahoma experience that's simultaneous with the Indiana experience. My question is, though, have you ever had problems like this in the past in any other state? And I don't care if it was back in 1990 or 1992, but have you ever had server capacity problems in the past?
Well, in Indiana, in 2011, we had an issue with memory on the server, and it was far smaller than this, but it was spread across the whole state. Standing here right now on this test administration platform, I can't, there's always going to be, these programs are big, they're very complicated, they involve a lot of schools and a lot of students and a lot of different computers, and it's technology, and I want to say it's going to be perfect, but in terms of right now standing here, what big problems have we had administering tests online? I can't honestly think of any right off the top of my head.
Okay, there might be a difficult
question.
There is
a big transition going on right now in schools across the country from paper and pencil to online, so that could also be why I can't think of many examples right this minute.
Well, I'd like for you to provide this committee or the chair with some information if you have any past issues. Second, are you familiar with the way that we fund our public schools here in the state of Indiana?
Not thoroughly, no.
Okay. Part of our funding formula, some of us agree, some of us disagree with this, has to do with student performance on these exams. So I think it's very important for you to understand that, because this could effectively change the amount of money that school systems receive in the state based on what we do here and what the legislature has decided the way to fund schools. Because we had these problems with the servers, how confident should we be in the results? You might have fixed the problem with the children being able to take the exams, but what kind of assurances are you going to give us, or can you give us, that these results, once they get to your database, are going to be accurate?
Are you talking about the final student scores and
Absolutely.
Those results?
Absolutely. Because,
yes.
Again, this goes back to my previous statement, which is we have determined in the state of Indiana that these scores are going to determine what money that we provide to school systems to run their systems. So that's a very important thing that we need to consider. So I just want to know how should we be able to rely on these scores?
Well, I think it's premature. I know that's probably not the answer you want to hear, but
okay.
I think we're doing the right thing. We are in the Department of Education to thoroughly look at the data, and especially for those students that are impacted, and that's why the department commissioned the third-party objective study, and we also have measurement staff that will be looking at the content, the scores, and we'll have to, that would be something for the next meeting. I can't say yet. It's too early to say. But we understand that the scores are important, that you have policies in the state of Indiana where the iStep Plus is used. And, you know, we will, and so will, I'm sure, the third party share with the department what the results of the data analysis are.
Last question, and thank you, Representative Banning, for allowing me the time. One of the things that I know, being in my law practice, is I talk to companies about ways and being efficient, which hopefully goes to the bottom line. The thing that disturbs me about this process, however, is going to 100% online. Correct me if I'm wrong. There are cost scale efficiencies that you receive that go directly to your bottom line from doing 100% online. Am I correct? Instead of having someone who has a sit and go through that test, that paper test, there are efficiencies that you get by doing this 100% online. Am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, just off the top of my head, there's efficiencies of not printing paper, not shipping paper, not
right.
picking up paper, not having truck drivers, things like that. So there are efficiencies. On the other hand, you can imagine you're trying to make a system better and better over more and
right.
more time and have it doing more and more as a state transitions to online. So some of those savings there might be used to help make a system better and better and better.
Okay.
But, yes, you know, strictly speaking, the difference between paper and online, there are efficiencies and savings that you get.
Thank you.
Representative Rose.
I'll just use Shelley's right now, if that's okay. A couple of things. The first ones are the idea that when we are using online.
We're back live. You just heard State Senator Greg Taylor. Probably one of the most recent only got to funding, but online, and does she understand how critical this test is for everyone here in Indiana?
True. And, but once again,
That's where the lawyer background kind of comes in. What I think is interesting was the comment that Ms. Haley made that, yes, mistakes were made. Yes, we had problems. You know, we're willing to pay the fines and the penalties, but this isn't worth throwing out the whole entire contract.
Well, she's trying to pick $4
million. Exactly. And if we have to spend $600,000 to save $24 million, what I'm starting to see is just sort of a pattern starting to form here, particularly on the part of CPT McGraw-Hill. Number one, it's the we weren't negligent, we did all our testing, don't throw out the whole contract, we're willing to make atonement and attrition. So this for them is truly basically trying to mitigate as many damages as humanly possible today.
And again, this is live coverage. The only media that's providing live coverage of this hearing, the important parts of the hearing, McGraw-Hill, the people behind the I-STEP test. They've been the company behind the I-STEP test since I-STEP has been here more than two decades here in Indiana. And the problems this year with the test were with them going to 100% online with the second part of the I-STEP test, both math, science, and English language arts. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more of the hearing. It's a special edition of Amos and Abdul for a Friday after these.
The 43rd Indiana Black Expo Summer Celebration at the Convention Center, July 19th through the 21st, has something for the entire family. For the first time, all kids 12 and under are free accompanied with an adult. Come witness the new and improved floor plan. The Family Fun Zone activities, including the Colts Play 60, the all-new Negro League Baseball Exhibit, the return of the Amateur Boxing Plus, Amp Harris and Reggie Wayne Celebrity Basketball Game, the food, the booths, the fashion show, Children's Day, and more. To purchase tickets, go online to IndianaBlackExpo.com. From AM 1310, The Light.
It's the question everyone asks this time of year. Who's coming to Indiana Black Expo's Summer Celebration? Well, get ready, because the stars and celebrities will be there. Beginning Friday, July 19th, Expo's corporate luncheon in Halls J&K of the Convention Center features superstar actor Billy Dee Williams, acclaimed filmmaker Spike Lee, the legendary OJs, and TV star Tisha Campbell-Martin. Then that evening, after the luncheon, the OJs take the stage on American Legion Mall downtown for Expo's Outdoor Music Heritage Festival concert, also featuring Midnight Star. On Saturday, July 20th, enjoy the one and only Jill Scott and Houdini at Expo's Music Heritage Festival concert indoors at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Meanwhile, at the Convention Center's Hall A, the celebrities will be out in force on the basketball court at the annual Amp Harris Reggie Wayne Celebrity Basketball Game. For ticket details for Expo's entertainment events or general admission, go to IndianaBlackExpo.com or call 925-2702. The 43rd Indiana Black Expo. Events start July 11th and run through July 21st, our community's biggest festival.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now.
800-563-6876.
We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent.
Call 800-563-6876. That's 800-563-6876. Again, 800-563-6876. 800-563-6876.
This is an important announcement for anyone with a student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-436-1225. That's 1-800-436-1225. When you call the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline, you will get free information. Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing endless student loan. If you are behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, Federal Student Loan Relief can help you. You can cut your payments in half right away. Federal Student Loan Relief will also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-436-1225. Federal Student Loan Relief has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-436-1225 for free information today. That's 1-800-436-1225.
We're at the Walmart in Fishers with Jennifer, a real Indianapolis mom who normally shops at Kroger. She brought in her last grocery receipt to see how much she could save on the same stuff at Walmart. Jennifer, did this experience open your eyes or what?
This experience was great. It really opened my eyes. After the challenge, I definitely would encourage family and friends to shop at Walmart. The Walmart challenge is the real deal.
There you go. Sounds like Jennifer has a new store. See for yourself how much you can save.